Hi, welcome to Indiana Weekend with John Strauss. This is a kind of radio magazine show about the interesting places and intriguing people in our part of the state. We're always interested in your thoughts. Drop us a note at indianaweekend@gmail.com with your suggestions and comments. Let us know what's going on where you are. From the Arts Desk, at Muncie Civic Theater, it's Guys and Dolls Jr. on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Winnie the Pooh Kids, March 11th, 12th, and 13th. And The Normal Heart, March 31st to April 9th. Details at MuncieCivic.org. At the Anderson Paramount Theater, Coppelia Ballet, The Doll Who Comes to Life, Friday and Saturday, March 4th and 5th at 7:30. April 23rd, it's Time for Three with Zach Depew and Nick Kendall on violin, Renan Meyer on double bass. Details at theandersonparamount.org. Muncie Symphony Orchestra has Night at the Opera April 23rd at Ball State Emmons Auditorium, featuring Elizabeth Truitt, Kathleen Maurer, John Truitt, and Craig Preby with the Ball State Choirs and Masterworks Chorale. Details at MuncieSymphony.org. And March 10th at Anderson University, it's an evening of chamber music, part of the Performing Arts Series. Go to anderson.edu for more details. Our slogan at Indiana Weekend is interesting people and places from around our region, right? Well, this week, there's not much doubt about who gets the title of interesting person. Betty Kendall celebrated her 100th birthday recently. To her home at Westminster Village came about 400 friends. Her friends at the Muncie Rotary sang happy birthday 2 days later. The Muncie Star Press did a nice write-up reporting that her friends sponsored a tribute to her at Ball State's Orchid Greenhouse, the Betty Kendall Lady Slipper Orchid Collection. If you notice how many times we've said friends here, that's no accident. Many people, by the time they reach their 80s, begin to lose many of their friends. Betty keeps making new ones, and at age 100, still has about 300 names on her Christmas card list. So, of course, her birthday party was a big deal.
Just wonderful. Lots of people, surprises.
Are you surprised to be 100 years old? I mean, some people say, you know, you wake up, one day you're 18 years old, and the next time you look up, you're 50 years old. And did time go by quickly?
Yes, it did. I've been very busy and had not much time to do nothing, so the time does go fast. It's kind of a little bit surprising to wake up and think, I'm 100 years old. You know you're going to be. But still, it's interesting.
Well, you know, not everybody's going to be 100. Are you into health and proper diet, exercise?
I joined an exercise class for a while. But when I moved to Westminster 3.5 years ago, I didn't go anymore. But I get a lot of exercise. I walk a lot. And I'll walk more because I don't have a car now. I decided that if I'd had an accident and it said I was 100 years old, I'd be at fault, unquestionably. And it was time. So I don't have a car now.
Some people learn all their lives, and you seem like the kind of person who's probably kept learning your whole life.
I think so. Lots of new experiences and game to try most.
What's your secret for staying young?
Well, being around young people so much, having good friends, a lot of wonderful experiences. It's been a great life.
What sticks with you the most? Because you traveled, you've done a lot of things. When you look back, what have you had the most fun doing?
With my great-grandchildren. I have two little great-grandsons, 3 and 5. And that's probably where I would go if I were going to take a trip, go to see them. They live in Brooklyn. I just have a lot of friends. I have a good time all the time. People are very kind to plan things and include me, and it's a good life.
Over the years, was there anything that surprised you about the way the country developed or the way things happened since you were real young?
Yeah, it moved very fast. I have not kept up. I'm not into all the new machines. I now have an iPad, but I get along with the telephone and letter writing.
Letters are important.
Mm-hmm. You can pick it up, a letter up, and go over it. You can keep something that in a letter that means a lot to you, and you just don't give it up. And they're fun to read. I love to get letters.
You still write letters?
Yes, I do. I love to get them, and people are kind to answer, or I get one and answer theirs.
She has always enjoyed traveling, but plans for a big trip she had planned in 1939 changed.
Well, I thought I was going to go to Europe in 1939. I was teaching, and that was my plan. But they had a little problem in Europe with Hitler. So that canceled out, and that's why I took a trip west. We were gone 10 weeks, I think, a friend and I. Never been west of Illinois. We struck out, Route 66. No plan, no itinerary. If we saw something we thought would be interesting, we just went, and completely on our own. I had a little diary from that trip, and Marianne, my daughter, found it one day, and she couldn't put it down. She said, Mother, gasoline was 15 cents a gallon, and you could eat on a dollar a day, and you could stay overnight for a dollar. That's exactly what my diary said, so I'm sure we did it. Had a great time. That's the big trip that I took. From then on, I was ready to go anyplace.
Was it unusual for two women to be traveling across the country? Tell me about that a little bit.
Well, my parents had two cars and lived in the country out near Royerton. And her parents had two cars. They lived in Albany. We couldn't get one of them. The women didn't want to give them up. The men needed them, and they weren't about to give up their cars. So here we've planned all this time, assuming we could get a car. I ran into a friend of my dad's, known him all my life, and he said, I hear your plans are not working out, Betty. What happened? I said, well, it's a car problem. He said, I'll sell you a car at cost. Your dad will sign for it, which he did. And that's how we got the car. So since I had the car, she had to buy the gas. When she got home, that was the end of her obligation. I began mine, payments on my car. But anyway, that's the way we went. It was fun. Great trip. No reservations. A couple of nights we thought we might sleep in the car, but it didn't work out that way. So wonderful time. We were in San Francisco for Fleet Week, which is a rare treat. And we knew people along the way occasionally, not often. And but anyway, it started the big trips for me.
What would people today not know about the United States in 1939? It's not as if you were on the interstate highway and had credit cards and cell phones and...
We had nothing of that kind, no. I don't know. We paid cash and wrote checks, and we pulled into a filling station in Wyoming, and the old cowboy came out and filled the gas tank for us. And he said, came up to the window of the car. He said, want me to pull the nail out of your tire, lady? I said, be my guest. We drove Pike's Peak, stopped and raised the hood of the car because everybody else was doing it. Looked in and nothing looked familiar. Looked fine to us. So we went on. We had a great time.
Were people different then?
We didn't feel uncomfortable any place we went. Maybe they were a little different.
You're quite the bridge player.
Yeah, both of us did, so that was a good thing. Had a lot of friends who played bridge, and we enjoyed it. I still play in a bridge club, and then a lot of ladies' clubs. I was busy, always in Muncie.
Betty Kendall of Muncie, a bridge playing, friend collecting centenarian whose birthday party attracted 400 friends, a big write-up in her local newspaper, and even a new orchid collection at Ball State. We're fascinated by people who live to be 100, and although the number of people who reach that age is very small, their numbers are growing. A United Nations estimate is that there were 180,000 centenarians throughout the world in the year 2000. By 2050, they are projected to number 3.2 million.
Indiana Weekend. Interesting people and places from across our region. Look for that name on Facebook and drop us a line. Let us know what you think at indianaweekend@gmail.com. Now here's John Strauss.
Betty Kendall turned 100 years old recently. Safe to say, we don't know many centenarians. The last U.S. Census found about 53,000 in this country. We've met a few over the years. For most, the lights have dimmed considerably. But not Betty Kendall. She still plays bridge, visits with friends. She walks just fine, thank you, and was driving until last year. She's kept her health and a great attitude and still loves her Indiana home.
You've been to Paris and traveled the world, but you didn't mind staying in Muncie.
Home was always good. I would go to Florida, and I would always take somebody when I was driving. I didn't drive very often by myself. But I would stop and visit friends in Carolina and again in Georgia.
Have you always liked driving?
Yep, very much. We moved to the country. Mother and Dad built a home out there just east of Royerton. And I was 9, I believe. By the time I was 12, I was driving home from the old Keener factory. That was country. And I could drive out there on our farm, country road out there. And of course, once I got my own car, it was endless. I was ready to go anytime. Had wonderful experiences driving. Tom worked for General Motors, so we had a new car every year. And had to give up my car when I decided not to drive anymore. And I think it was my favorite.
What kind of car was it?
It was a Buick, small SUV, not the big ones, and bright, beautiful red.
You drove until you were 99 years old.
Almost 100.
You must be a good driver.
I've been lucky.
You're a modest person. At some point, as everything was going on, did you go, oh, don't make a fuss over me? Or,
well, I asked about this interview, don't you think this is overkill? Maybe they've had enough of Betty Kendall? This party was something. There were between 400 and 500 people came. And except for the people here at Westminster, I think I could name every one of them. So I have just lots of people on my list. I send out about 300 Christmas cards. We lived in Michigan for 15 years, and I picked up a lot of new friends there. But you know, when you get to be 100, if you don't hang out with young people, you don't have very many friends.
You don't want to just sit around in your house. You're still active.
When I looked at this apartment, when it was empty, and I looked at it, they were telling me, oh, the windows have a wonderful view. And I thought, well, I'll look out as I go by, but I'm not going to sit there and look out. I'm going to be reading or something. I've been a widow since 1976. I lived in the country. Well, we lived in the country when we came back from Michigan. And on a little farm. And I stayed there after Tom died until I moved. My children, living away, were concerned about my driving at night. And I wasn't about to miss anything. So I moved back into Muncie and lived 5 houses from where I'd lived when we went to Michigan on Berwyn Road. So it's been Muncie pretty much of my life.
I see that you have a cartoon from Jim Davis.
I do. I don't see him often, but he's been very nice to me.
And you have a fondness for Ball State University?
Oh, yeah. I go to theater. I go to football and basketball games, have for years. I was a friend of Joanne Gora's, good friend of the Worthens. Ball State's my team. Ball State's my school.
Would you have any advice for young people today? I mean, folks just starting out, commencement is just around the corner.
This is something that I have learned just in the last 5 years. I get so many requests for my opinion on things. And I think that is ridiculous to ask a 100-year-old person for their opinion on current events or current policies. Or I write back and I say, I'm 100 years old. I say I'm 99, whatever it was. And I said, I don't think my opinion is worth much in today's world.
But there are some enduring things about life and about hope and don't give up. I mean, do you ever think about that? I mean, you must have a very positive attitude. How have you done that? Like I think you told me before, you don't really look back.
Well, I look back on all the good things. I can remember all my trips and all the fun things we did. And even back to Violet Club in high school. But I don't dwell on the unhappy, the sad, the tragic. It doesn't, fortunately, it doesn't hang on. A positive attitude gets you a lot of places, through a lot of things.
How do you get along so well with people?
Well, I don't like an argument. I'd rather, if we disagree, you keep your opinion and I'll keep mine. I'm cheerful, let's put it that way, optimistic. And so I guess that makes good company. At least I have a lot of friends.
I don't want to bring up something sad, but you still miss Tom? You think about Tom?
Yeah, oh yeah. But you've got to realize this is part of it. And I'm just willing to accept that and go on. I lost my father in June, and in February, Tom died. So very close together, there were two deaths, the two most important men in my life. It was tough. But the way I look at it, they don't want me being sad. They don't want me, that's not the way they want it. So I'm not going to let it happen.
Betty Kendall of Muncie, age 100 and going strong, recently feted at a birthday party with 400 friends, a special tribute at the Muncie Rotary, and even an orchid collection in her honor at a Ball State greenhouse.
This is Indiana Weekend with John Strauss on Indiana Public Radio.
What are you looking forward to? Spring is just around the corner. Summer is coming up. What are you looking forward to now?
I'd like to be doing a little traveling, but that would be to visit family or to visit friends, not excursions for observing a new country or something.
Like to go see the great-grandchildren.
I would love that. They're in Brooklyn. Mm-hmm. Different life. They've moved from Dallas, but they're having a wonderful time. It would be to visit my children or friends.
Are you ever surprised at how children live today and the things that they do compared with?
Well, mostly they're looking at an iPad or whatever these things are, and that annoys me. And their parents aren't listening to them sometimes when they're begging to be heard.
You're very self-sufficient.
I'm independent.
You're independent.
Yeah.
It's important to be independent.
No, I'm not very independent now. I have friends that will guarantee that I'm not very independent. They do a lot of things for me, but on the other hand, I choose what I do pretty much. And if I need help with it, I have friends that'll help, but I can pretty well.
You've had friends though, who they weren't so independent, and maybe they depended on a husband and.
Yeah, well, I lost the two people that I depended on a great deal. I was going to the ball games by myself or with friends, but they passed away over the years, and we were down to two of us at the basketball games. And I went into Applebee's one day and sat down at a little table for two, and somebody came in and started to sit down at the next table, and it was a friend of mine. And I said, "Are you alone expecting?" I said, "No." I said, "Well, come join me." So while we're talking, he said, "Are you going to the basketball games this winter?" And I said, "Well, I've ordered my tickets. I'll go whenever the weather allows." And he said, "Well, why don't you come with Bud?" And I thought, "Bud? Bud who?" This gentleman sat next to, I'm on the aisle, my friend's next to me, and then Joe Scherer was next. And this fellow, I didn't have a chance to talk to him. I'm on the aisle, I'm the first one out. So I didn't know, it was Bud. And he lives at Westminster. So Joe was the one who introduced me to him. And now I go to the basketball games with Bud and Joe. And every once in a while, somebody else, like the Gibsons yesterday, we went to the game together. But I made a friend at the basketball game, and they end up taking me to the games.
It's important to keep making friends.
Oh, yeah. I don't know how I do it particularly. I made friends when I was asked to be an honorary member at Rotary. I made some new friends there, and I've thoroughly enjoyed it. And I've made friends here at Westminster, and wherever I go, if it's appropriate and the opportunity comes up, I'll end up with a new friend.
Is it fair to say all of us need to be a little bit adventurous? Not maybe we can't all go to see the pyramids or go down the Snake River in a raft or something like that, but we have to be adventurous in being willing to say hello to somebody like
don't
you
hang,
did.
Don't hang back. Don't hang back. Enter it. Enter in, and you'll find something in common with almost anybody you meet. And often you'll be surprised. You know somebody that they know.
How do you want people to remember you? What do you want people to say about Betty?
that I was pleasant, that I was adventuresome, that I wasn't reasonably well-educated and interesting, and that I just loved people, and I think they felt it.
Oh, give me land, lots of land, under starry skies above. Don't fence me in. Let me ride through the wide open country.
Betty Kendall, honored recently in Muncie by hundreds of friends on the occasion of her 100th birthday. Her friend Gay Nation took her to the Ball State basketball game on February 9th, where she was treated to a birthday cake at the Cardinal Varsity Club before the tip-off. Then she presented the game ball at center court and received a commemorative basketball. Betty Kendall, whose friends just threw a whopping 100th birthday party for her, possessed of a great outlook on life, keep learning, keep making friends, keep living in the fullest sense of that word. Finally, just a quick word about the station. We're very grateful for the help of our members, and I hope that includes you. If not, maybe you'll consider joining. More than 80% of IPR's program budget comes from member support. You can pledge online at indianapublicradio.org. You can call our toll-free number, 1-800-646-1812. You can mail or fax a pledge. There's a tax deduction. And many companies match employee contributions to Indiana Public Radio. For more details, just give us a call at that number, 1-800-646-1812. However you do it, just know that we're grateful to have you part of the IPR family. And family it is, because when you give, it shows that you care. And programs like this are the result. That's our show for today. I'm John Strauss. Big thanks to our producer, Sean Ashcraft, and all the folks in the front office, including your friends Matt Bloom, Connie Clary, Lori Georgie, Emily Kowalski, Andrea Lutz, John Morgan, Angie Rapp, and Debbie Webb. Glad you could join us this time. Hope you'll stay in touch. Drop me a note at indianaweekend@gmail.com if you would like more information or have a suggestion. In the meantime, thanks and have a great week. Until we meet again on the next Indiana Weekend on Indiana Public Radio.
We struck out Route 66. No plan, no itinerary. If we saw something we thought would be interesting, we just went and completely on our own. I had a little diary from that trip, and Marianne, my daughter, found it one day, and she couldn't put it down. She said, Mother, gasoline was 15 cents a gallon, and you could eat on a dollar a day, and you could stay overnight for a dollar. That's exactly what my diary said, so I'm sure we did it. Had a great time.
Indiana Weekend with host John Strauss. Our show is engineered at Indiana Public Radio, produced by Sean Ashcraft. Major support for Indiana Weekend comes from IPR's listeners. We hope you'll join your friends who are IPR members. You can go to indianapublicradio.org or give us a call at 1-800-646-1812. Join us again next week for Indiana Weekend with John Strauss here on Indiana Public Radio.